This is North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Phoebe Judge. The North Carolina legislature is back in town and ready to work for the year following a two-week break. This is the so-called long session that will likely run into the summer months. WUNC's Jeff Tabiri is part of our team of reporters covering the legislature this year. He joins me now from Raleigh. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Phoebe.
So what does it look like on this first day of the long session? What is the mood around the Capitol?
A bit chaotic, as you might imagine, everybody kind of settling in, getting back in place. There's a new Speaker of the House with Tom Tillis having gone to the U.S. Senate. And, you know, a Moral Monday protest outside, a series of bills are coming in on both chambers. And, you know, one of the conversations is thinking about the last long legislative session. Is this going to be a bit of a shift back toward the middle, toward the moderate side of things? It was obviously a very conservative push in the last long legislative session. Some significant bills were pushed through on various fronts. So, you know, I think people are just kind of settling in.
The last time the General Assembly was in session in Raleigh, it was full of dramatic legislative reform. What are we expecting this time around?
You know, a lot of that it remains to be seen. There haven't been a whole lot of indicators or specific indicators. We did get one this morning. Senate Bill 3 was introduced today by Senate Pro Tem Phil Berger. That would give every magistrate across the state the right or the ability to recuse him or herself from performing marriages. Essentially, it means that they wouldn't have to perform same-sex marriages if they don't want to. I haven't spoken with Senator Berger yet. I'm hoping to have the opportunity to do that in about an hour. We did hear from some Democratic lawmakers who said, you know, this is discriminatory, this is bad for business, this is separate but equal. Or they didn't say that. They said, you know, we've tried separate but equal in this country before, and it didn't work. So this is, you know, right in line with the same-sex marriage conversation, and it certainly will be a controversial bill, we expect, moving forward.
Any other big topics that we can expect to be hearing from sometime down the line?
Yeah, in the next few months, I think that we're going to be hearing a lot about Medicaid. We're going to be hearing a lot about the economy and education, specifically with the economy. You know, North Carolina has a $21 billion budget. Right now, there's a deficit of about $200 million, which, while it sounds like a lot, isn't substantial enough to change perhaps some new tax measures. So it'll be interesting to see what happens on the economic front, also with, you know, perhaps business incentives and trying to lure new businesses to the state. On the education front, bringing up minimum salaries is, you know, something that has been kicked around, something that has been talked about. Public school teachers could be looking at, you know, $35,000 a year minimum. Eventually, this General Assembly, in this long legislative session, they will pass a two-year budget. That's kind of the last assignment before they can break for the summer. And we learned today that the governor will lay out his vision, he'll give the state of the state to the General Assembly next Wednesday at 7, which, you know, will provide some more specifics, perhaps on the fronts of transportation and business, and then we'll go from there.
Well, it's a busy day for you. Thanks very much for speaking with me.
Thanks, Phoebe.
WUNC's Jeff Tabiri is one of our reporters covering the legislature this year. We'll have more on this first day at the General Assembly today on All Things Considered. Last month, a report was released which found Scotland County to be the poorest county in North Carolina. Ken Goodman represents Scotland County in the North Carolina General Assembly, which, as we heard, is reconvening today. And he joined me to talk about the unique challenges that poses.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So, will you just set us up for where Scotland County is in the state?
It is in southern central North Carolina. It's a border county with South Carolina. It's east of Richmond and west of Robeson County.
And in terms of population density, you know, what does it look like? What are the main characteristics of the county?
Well, it's very rural. Its population is about 36,000, not growing. They've lost some population over the last several years. It is agricultural to some degree, just typical of southeastern central North Carolina.
And you have, as you say, been serving for three terms now. How has the county changed over the past 10 years? Have you seen any changes?
There have been considerable changes. I saw a North Carolina Chamber of Commerce report that showed that Scotland County had lost 34% of its jobs since the year 2000, so that is very significant. And property values are lower. It's just been a pretty tough situation economically, as it has been for all of these counties. Neighboring Richmond and Robeson are maybe not quite as bad off economically as Scotland, but very similar.
So, given the fact that we know that this area of the state, but also Scotland County, has some real challenges to it, what are the unique challenges that you come across when you're trying to represent a county such as Scotland in a legislature with others who are dealing with kind of vastly different economic outlooks for their own constituents?
Well, the unique problems for Scotland is it's very rural. The workforce there is not highly educated. The infrastructure is difficult. They're not located on an interstate highway or near a large metropolitan area. So there are just a lot of things that make it very difficult for them to climb out of their current situation.
But what can you do? What does that mean that you have to do, or does it, you know, when you're there with all of the other representatives talking about North Carolina as a whole, but also thinking about the part of the state that you represent, are there challenges that are posed to you in that may be different from a representative who's representing Mecklenburg County or, you know, somewhere closer to Raleigh or Durham?
Oh, they're extreme challenges. And you, in your comment, you express them. We are not in a metropolitan area. We are not near a major airport. We're not where population is going. So those are challenges. We're not on the radar screen for companies that are wanting to come to North Carolina. So those are things that are just, we have to deal with them, but they're really hard to overcome.
And what does it mean for you when you're sitting there at the legislature? What is it like when you're there around all of the other representatives who may have more illustrious counties that they're representing, and you're saying, wait a second, we have to stick up for these other parts of the state?
We do. My argument there is that North Carolina cannot leave the rural counties behind and be a great state. That it is, and I try to make the case that it is in the best interest of the metro areas to develop this part of the state as well, and we will all either rise together or sink together. So I try to make that case every day when I'm in Raleigh.
What are some of the things that you hope to accomplish in this upcoming session for residents? I know you represent a number of counties, but for residents of Scotland County?
Well, infrastructure is very important. If our highway system is better, one thing that would be important for Scotland County is if North Carolina's economic development incentive packages improve, that is especially important for a border county like Scotland, because South Carolina, for instance, is very aggressive in recruiting industry, and if Scotland is recruiting an industry and South Carolina is recruiting the same one, they're all sort of in the same area, and we lose a lot of industry to South Carolina because, you know, it's right across the border. It's 20 miles from, say, Laurinburg, which is a county seat, and if we don't offer the same incentives, then it's just very easy for them to just go right across the border to South Carolina, so we need more help sometimes because of where we're located.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Well, thank you.
Ken Goodman represents Scotland County. I'm Phoebe Judge, and this is North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.